Were you there when they crucified our Lord? Meditations on Calvary. Written and narrated by Linda Bonnie Olin. Content and audio production. Copyright 2017. Linda Bonnie Olin. www.lindabonnieolin.com. Chapter 5. The Unseen Presence. Precious Savior Jesus, we can't fully fathom what you did for us on the cross. Open our minds and touch our hearts with a little more understanding, that we may be moved to greater joy in your gift and greater gratitude to you. Amen. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when he cried, "My God, my God"? Were you there when he cried, "My God, my God"? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he cried, "My God, my God"? Were you there when the earth began to quake? Were you there when the earth began to quake? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when the earth began to quake? Meditation. We've seen a whole cast of characters on Calvary. The Roman soldiers who carried out Pontius Pilate's order of execution. The Apostle John. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other women. Two thieves crucified alongside Jesus, the religious leaders who had plotted Jesus' destruction and showed up to heckle him, the jostling, jeering crowd. Have we missed anyone? Who else was there when the Son of God was crucified? What about the Lord God, whose plan brought Jesus Christ and all the others to Calvary in the first place? Scripture reading. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, her husband Joseph being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Meditation continues. According to these and other scriptures, it was by God's plan that Jesus came into the world, born as a human being. And it was by God's plan that Jesus suffered and died as a human being, to bring about reconciliation between the sinful human race and our supremely holy Creator. Wouldn't God want to be there to witness the climax of his grand design? Scripture reading. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was God's son." Our meditation continues. God's purpose in bringing Jesus to Calvary is clearly shown in the scriptures. God's presence there is not so clear. A powerful divine presence was suggested by the strange phenomena that occurred that day. Darkness overshadowed the scene. An earthquake rocked Golgotha, splitting the earth and opening tombs. The temple veil was torn from top to bottom. But God the Father was not seen. God the Father's voice was not heard. Remember the voice that spoke from a mysterious cloud when Jesus was baptized, and again when he was transfigured on the mountaintop? The voice had proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Wouldn't that Friday morning have been a great time for an encore? But God did not refute the accusations of Jesus' enemies with a booming endorsement in front of the crowd on Golgotha. In fact, the plaintive cry of the crucified Jesus suggests that God the Father wasn't there at all. My God, why have you forsaken me?" It can't be coincidence that these are the opening words of Psalm 22. Even though David wrote them many years before the birth of Jesus Christ, verses in Psalm 22 could have been pulled straight out of the crucifixion scene on Calvary. Scripture reading. "All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. 'He trusts in the Lord,' they say. 'Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.' Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." Our meditation continues. Jesus knew the scriptures well. He surely was familiar with this psalm written by his famous ancestor. Did he cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" because David's desperate prayer resonated so closely with his own circumstances? In other words, was Jesus using the language of abandonment figuratively to express the depth of his agony as he neared death? Or was Jesus literally forsaken by God at that moment? Should we count God the Father among those who were conspicuous by their absence from Calvary when they crucified our Lord? God the Father loved Jesus dearly. The two were in constant communication. Why, then, would God turn his back on Jesus now, at the height of his suffering? Surely this was the very time Jesus needed God's presence most. Perhaps this also was the very time Jesus needed God's absence most. By leaving Jesus on his own to die a fully human, fully voluntary death, the Father assured that Jesus would receive full honor and glory for his sacrifice. No one could diminish Jesus' ordeal by pointing to a divine hand shielding him from the whip. No army of angels shared the weight of the cross he carried to Golgotha. No miraculous nerve block numbed the pain of spikes driven through his flesh and bones. Jesus took the full brunt himself. But Jesus' sacrifice went far beyond the obvious suffering of torture and death. On top of excruciating physical pain, he suffered the spiritual pain of condemnation for the sins of the whole world. All of them, past, present, and future. What a ghastly burden! Did God turn his face away because the load of guilt Jesus carried was too monstrous, too unholy for the supremely holy God to look upon? Separation from God has been called the very essence of hell and damnation. If that is so, perhaps his condemnation for the sins of humankind separated Jesus from God. Forsaken indeed. Jesus had freely accepted the condemnation, but even if he knew beforehand that the estrangement from his Father was going to happen, that wouldn't make it any easier to bear. The desolation of being forsaken by God in his moment of trial had to be the worst suffering of all. The music for this chapter includes a choice between a solo piece and a group song. We'll present both, with apologies for the dubious quality of my vocals, especially on the solo.
Obedient love.
to bottom is torn as Jesus dies. When soldiers pierce his side, blood mixed with water flows. Onlookers wail and followers mourn when cold in a tomb Jesus lies. Tear-swelled eyes in dawning light behold, an empty grave. Rejoice, he once again lives who had been slain. Death's power the Christ defies. He keeps God's word of old. Sinners to save, new life Jesus gives, in glory forever to today. Oh, touch me this very hour. Your presence would mean more than any display of heaven's majestic power. I miss you so. Why don't you feel near? Where did it go? Your voice in my ear. Help me to know you truly are here, and stay come what may tomorrow. Where are you, my God? How I want you to say, I'm with you this very minute. I'm searching the cloud that turned blue sky to gray, but don't see your face within it. I miss you so. Why don't you feel near? Where did it go? Your voice in my ear. Help me to know you truly are here, and stay come what may tomorrow. Where are you, my God? Do you still hear me pray? Please answer this very second. I'm trying, dear Father, your will to obey. It's harder than I had reckoned. I miss you so. Why don't you feel near? Where did it go? Your voice in my ear. Help me to know you truly are here, and stay come what may tomorrow.
Our meditation continues. Good news! If God did indeed hide his face from Jesus while he hung on the cross, he wasn't far away. He saw everything his beloved son suffered in obedience to his will. He heard him cry out in agony. God heard Jesus cry out in victory, too. The mission was accomplished, and the Father was well pleased. In the following discussion section, I'll pause several seconds between questions. You might want to stop the recording at those points to give more time to reflect and discuss. Has God given you a mission? Have you sensed the presence of God watching over you as you carried out His work? Does He seem close or sometimes far away? Have you ever felt as if God abandoned you when your mission ran into difficulties? Has a Bible verse or hymn ever strengthened you by expressing what you're going through? Our closing song is God Be With You Till We Meet Again. What do you think is the significance of asking God to be with a person? Our closing prayer. O God, you are the unseen presence who watches over all your children. If it pleases you, allow us to experience your supportive presence, especially when we go through times of suffering. Thank you for loving us so much that you reconciled us to yourself through your beloved Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. God be with you till we meet again. By His counsel's guide uphold you, with His sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. This ends chapter 5. Song and scripture credits follow. The opening song is from the old spiritual, Were You There When They Crucified My Lord? The closing song is the first verse of God Be With You Till We Meet Again, words by Jeremiah E. Rankin, tune by William G. Tomer. The solo, My God, Why? Is set to Linda Bonnie Olin's arrangement of John Dowland's Renaissance air, Time Stands Still. The group song, Where Are You, My God?, is set to the tune Light of the World by Philip P. Bliss. Words of those two songs are by Linda Bonnie Olin, copyright 2016, Linda Bonnie Olin. www.lindabonnieolin.com. All other lyrics and all the tunes are in the public domain. Here are scripture references for this chapter in order of appearance. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 21, and John 3, verses 16 and 17, both passages quoted from the New Revised Standard Version. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, quoted from the New Living Translation. Mark 15, verses 33 through 39, quoted from the New Revised Standard Version. Matthew 3, verse 17, Matthew 17, verse 5, and Psalm 22, verses 7, 8, and 16 through 18, quoted from the New International Version. The New Revised Standard Version Bible, copyright 1989, the Division of Christian Education of the National Council of the Churches of Christ in the United States of America, used by permission, all rights reserved. The Holy Bible New Living Translation, copyright 1996, 2004, 2007, by Tyndale House Foundation, used by permission of Tyndale House Publishers, Inc., Carroll Stream, Illinois, 60188, all rights reserved. The Holy Bible New International Version, copyright 1973, 1978, 1984, 2011, by Biblica, Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide.